Most High, the Most High. There should be no doubt in your mind as to who that is, because he's your father. He's the nearest relative you will ever have. And El Yon in the Hebrew tongue, it means supreme. It means there's no higher. It's the highest peak. And naturally, when you turn to him, you want to go with to him with that thought in mind. He is over all, created all, and he is all. He's your father, and he's aware. Open your Bibles, if you would, way back in the book of Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. You know, the Most High has been with us even longer than this earth age, even in the one before. But we're going to start back at the beginning of this one, basically. When Abram had just received word that Lot had been taken captive. Sodom and Gomorrah had been raided. And many precious things had been taken from there, including Lot and much of his family. Abram hears about it. We're going to pick it up there, if we may, in chapter 14, the great book of Genesis, verse 14. It reads, "And when Abram," this would be Abraham before his name change, "and when Abram heard that his brother," actually it was his nephew, "was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan," over to Lachish. 15, "and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Horbah, which is on the left hand of Damascus," right up to the edge of Syria. "And he brought back all the goods and brought both again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people." He recovered all. Do you know why? The Most High was with him. And when the Most High is with you today, that's your father, you're in control. He has given you power. The Most High has given you power over those that would claim to have power. And that is to say, Satan and his ilk. So always be that, have that kinship. And God, through that kinship, always delivers those that obey him, those that follow him. And verse 17. "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shavah," which is the king's dale, right, his main camp. Verse 18, guess who met them there? "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God," Elyon, supreme. I mean, no other above that. But who was this? He had no mother, he had no father. Who was this Melchizedek? Well, the Hebrew language explains it. Melchah is king, and Zedek is the Zadok, the just, or Salem of peace. He's the king of peace. In other words, if you were to read Hebrews, we're not going there, but if you were to make a note of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3 in the New Testament, it tells you Melchizedek is Christ. Okay. Melchizedek is as the Son of God because he was the Son of God. He appeared to bless Abram because Abram was caring for his own. He was taking care of business, but he had God's permission and God's approval, and he was the servant of the Most High God. That's your father. You know, that is ever so important. Don't ever let anyone take that away from you. Don't ever let anyone talk you out of that. Don't ever let anything take anything away from our Heavenly Father, who is the High God. Elyon. Not only high, but supreme. He's it. And you're very fortunate because you're his child. And he cares about you. So on the way back, what were these gifts that he had with him here? Bread and wine. Bread being symbolic of what Christ's body would be when Mary and Joseph would go to Bethlehem, the house of bread. It was the bread of life. And what is this wine other than that that cleanses you of all sin, washes you, makes you new? So God met them through Melchizedek, returning from this victory, and brought these cleansing and fulfilling things, and brought the blessings of God, that is to say, from the Most High. How precious our Father is that He remembers, and how He always gives us the victory, ultimately. It may look bad for a while, but He always gives us the victory. Nothing can stop us. Verse 19, and what did Melchizedek do? And he blessed him, Abram that is, and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Even Abram was chosen, possessor of heaven and earth. He controls it all. Don't ever forget that. He always has a reason and a purpose. Love him enough to understand that. Verse 20, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all. In other words, Abram, tithed to Melchizedek, showing that he was recognizing the fact that he was from the Most High God, that he was symbolic of the Most High God. And it was his way of saying thank you to our Heavenly Father. And so it was that he paid these tithes. 21, listen carefully. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. In other words, he hadn't freedom, Abraham had. 22, and Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. 23, and I will not take from a thread even the shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. And so it was that he would not. But yet, the Most High, our Heavenly Father, when this one had been taken captive, Lot, then from that dreadful place, Sodom and Gomorrah, even then, Abram, with God's assistance, delivered those from the hands of the enemy. He will always deliver you today. Doesn't matter what the situation is, and it may look nip and tuck, but He'll always be there for you. Well, why would He be? He's the Most High. They don't come any higher. He's it. He's in charge. He created it, and He'll manage it the way He chooses. And how precious it is when our Father leads and directs. Go with me to the 148th Psalm. 148th Psalm. And it reads, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens and praise Him in the heights. From the Most High. He is the Most High. That is as high as you can get. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. All those that are with Him. Why? They're for your benefit. They're for your help when you need it. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. And praise ye Him, all you stars of light. What I want you to derive from this is His control. You start, well, I'm just worried about things, so the bad news. Oh, are you? Well, do you think Father's worried about it? I mean, after all, He is the Most High. He laughs at them. He's got everything well under control. When Satan tries his little tricks, God is always there, and He is Most High. It will happen the way He intends. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Praise them all. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He's in charge. And do you know what? He's your Father. Think about that. Don't ever let anyone take that away from you. He is your Father. And He created all. He commands all. He controls all if you use the name. in his power. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Oh, how men with his little insignificant little tries wants to change things, the weather even. You know, global warming and a few other things when people are freezing up north, you know. But they're down in Cancun having a big celebration, you know, talking and figuring out global warming. And Europe is frozen. I mean, 2 feet of snow, airports closed, nothing turning. Buffalo Highway 90 closed. And I don't know, it's kind of cold here today. But global warming indeed does come every spring. Have you ever noticed that? You can count on it. Why? God made it that way forever. Okay. Verse 7. Praise the Lord for the earth, you dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail and snow and vapor and stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Doing what? Fulfilling his word. He's in charge. And do you know what? I'll remind you again. He's your father. He's the closest relative you will ever have. He created your very soul. Why? Because he wanted someone just like you. Your DNA is different. Unless you're twins, of course. And your fingerprints are different. Why? You're unique. He wanted someone like you. Verse 9, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. 10, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. 11, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth. Every soul belongs to God. Ezekiel 18:4. Also, you don't give your soul to God. He's already got it. Both young men and maidens, old men and children. 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven, most high, above all. You can't go wrong in dealing with him, in loving him, in returning the love he gives to you. He also exalteth the horn of his people. That's your power, your strength. The praise of all his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him, praise ye the Lord. And so it is that we, the creator of all things, even your very being, makes you wonder when he had time to create every star, every planet, everything it is. Do you know what? He came one day and he said, I want someone just like you. I'm going to make someone like that. I'm going to create them. I'm going to form them. And here you are. And he's your father. Most High God. Don't ever, ever let anyone take that away from you. It will be tried, especially in this coming year, that Christians will have a hard time even remembering if they stick with the secular world as to what a Christian is, because it's being removed. They don't even call Christmas Christmas anymore, okay? Which was actually the conception of Christ. But that's okay. Don't let it go out of your mind and heart, because we're approaching the end. And that's when you want to be in good standing with him. Let's go with me to the great book of Luke. As we're turning there, many people use the term Most High God. You'll remember that the demons themselves in Luke 18, we're not going there, we're going to chapter 1. But in Luke 18, the demons, when Jesus approached, said, you're Jesus, son of David, of the Most High God. Even the demons know who the Most High God is. Do you? You know, and there was a wild woman in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, that was a slave, had a demon. And all she could talk about was the Most High God. You see, words don't cut it. It's what's in your mind and your heart and how you serve God. That's what cuts it. Okay. And what did Paul do to her? He cleansed it out of her, you wicked demon. But her words were perfect, but she was in the way. And so at the same time, there's a beautiful side to this, but don't let Satan slip on your off side. Okay, be alert. Now, the beautiful side. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Verse 26 reads, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." The sixth month was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. All right, it was December the 25th. It was the day of Christ's conception. "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." She was reasoning in her own mind, what could this possibly mean? "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus," being translated that as Yeshua, which is to say Yahweh's Savior, the Savior of the world, if you would. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest," that is, Son of the Most High God. And so it is. Don't ever let anyone take that away from you. "And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Don't ever let anyone take that away from you. Well, it's all over. No, it isn't. It hasn't even started good. Father's on the throne. Everything's under control. Satan's practicing his last little antics. And we've seen them over and over and over. As Ecclesiastes chapter 1 makes very clear to you, there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever has been will be again. God has given you a pattern. Are you intelligent enough to watch it, to follow it? Because Satan never tries anything new, basically. Same old stuff. Always blowing you up and trying to get you to think you're something you're not. And then pulling the rug right out from under you. Don't listen to him. Don't let him take away from you the Most High God. That you have power over him. He doesn't want you to know that. But in serving the Most High, that's probably the most precious thing you'll ever possess. Is the fact that this one born to this woman gave you power and authority in his name over anything evil. So that makes it about even. You have nothing to fear. You're a child of the Most High God. So, and his kingdom is forever. There will be no end. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She was only espoused, engaged. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest, Most High God, shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God," which is the Son of the Most High. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." So here you have two pregnancies. One that was too late, she was too old, and one that was too young, not married. But God touched. Why? Because God wanted John to come forth, who would be the voice crying from the wilderness, announcing the coming of this Jesus, this Messiah. And so it was. All from order and control from the Most High, the living God. How precious it is to know, hey, I'm talking about your family. You see, because he is your father. Don't ever, as I said, let anyone take that away from you. It is a precious, precious thing. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Whatever He wants, He's going to work it out. Why? He's in control. Now skip on to the 67th verse for me of this same chapter, 67th verse. This will be Zacharias, the father. He was a Levitical priest serving the course of Abijah, which is why we know what the date is that we're talking about here, because of the date that the course of Abijah falls on. It's one of the 24 courses that Levitical priests serve in the temple. Verse 67, this would be concerning John the Baptist. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit. What's that? That's the Spirit of the Most High. And prophesied, saying, verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people. And that is true. If you take hold, and if you understand that through that Son, you're given power over anything negative in your life, use it. And don't be afraid to use it. Again, founded in Luke chapter 10, verse 19 forward, that He gives you, He trusts you if you love Him. If you love Him, He loves you. And you have that fulfillment. But He continues concerning, this is not from Zacharias, it's from the Holy Spirit, which means the Spirit of the Most High. So it is a message from God. So don't read over it. Verse 69. And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. A horn is always power. That's why there is one on each corner of the altar, signifying power, God's power. Verse 70. And He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Have you kept up with it? How long was that since the world began? Did you realize there was an earth age before this one? It's written in God's Word if you take the trouble to read it. There's no mysteries when you listen to the Most High. 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Do you let them wallow you around? Do you let them tromp on you? Why would you, when He has authorized you to take care of business? So take care of business. Control. And keep Father's work moving as it should move. Doing God's work. And never, never let Satan interfere with it. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant, Micah 7:20, nice reading beside it. The oath which He sware to our father Abraham. That's back where we started. Verse 74, and He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear. Don't you ever, ever be one of these that's afraid. Okay. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit in you, the Spirit of the living God, the Most High. And He's given you power over your enemies, and He's given you a mind whereby you are, be wiser than the serpent. You can outfigure him. You know from God's Word what His plan is. Keep ahead of Him. Don't let Him gain on you. And about the time you get the happiest is when He gets you down. You're not watching. You want to always be watchful. But use that power, and sooner or later he's afraid of you. You're not the one that should fear. It's the enemy that should fear. Why? Because you have God with you, and He is what? He's the Most High. He gives you that power. And you have nothing to fear other than fear itself. So wise up, serve Him, and be a good trooper for the living God. And verse 75, let's go with it. In holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. That's every day. When it's possible, keep that holy. And the very enemies themselves, let them be afraid, don't you? And thou, child, this would be concerning John the Baptist, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. That's the Most High God. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. That's what John was. He came in the spirit of Elijah. He was not Elijah, but he came in the spirit of Elijah to show that way. Luke 1, back in verse 15 and 16. And Christ would say in Matthew 11, this would be Elijah if they would receive him. They didn't. They cut his head off. So, therefore, we still look and we still search. Don't worry, the Spirit will come to give knowledge and salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, repentance, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. That dayspring is the morning star. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has visited us. Do you know what John is in the Hebrew tongue? It's God's gracious gift. And that gift of knowledge and understanding before the fact, before the coming, before the advent, is a very precious thing. It's a gift from God. See that you stay in his word and that you don't catch yourself short and that you stay attuned to the Most High, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whereby you see the hand of the enemy and everything he tries to bring to pass. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. How precious it is that God, through his mighty works in hand, gives us a platform as well as other platforms that go around the world to bring that good news, that word from our Father, the Most High God. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. And so it was that he did this. God is always so very good to us. That's one reason why he is the Most High. He always gives us another witness. And we find that other witness by continuing right into chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Taxings just seemed to come necessary in the blood of some people. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city, that of his nativity. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Bethlehem, of course, is the house of bread. There's nothing happens by accident. Do you know the strange thing that happened here back in Genesis? And we're not going there. But the last of the 12 sons was born near Bethlehem. And the mother died. And she would name this son Beni, son of my sorrow. But his father would change that child's name to Benjamin, son of my right hand. And so it is that it took place in this place, the house of bread. So it's significant. Don't ever think it isn't. Much history entailed therein. Verse 5. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And here he had this birth of a commoner because he came to the common as well as to the other. And there were in the same country shepherds. Here's the other witness. Abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. This, again, lets you know we're not talking about December the 25th here at birth. Okay, their shepherds are not in the field at night in December. Okay. But September, you got it. Okay. 9 months after December the 25th. Verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I mean, these poor farm boys, shepherds out there, and here is this angel of God. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. To how many people? To all people, Israel and every Gentile. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, that's the most high God, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And that's what this one brings us. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us, that the Savior was here, that on repentance your sins are washed away. And when you partake of that bread of life, which is this word, the word of God, you're given that strength and that understanding, that knowledge that will take you through any situation that this earth and Satan might bring before you. You being that servant of the living God. And how precious it is that our Father makes this possible. So where did we go to there? Verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them from into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem. And they did, and they came in haste and found Mary and Joseph, babe in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them. And she would. And she continued to. How precious it is that the Most High sent us the greatest gift of all, that we would have this, and so it was. Verse 20. And the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was as it was told unto them. And here we have this report from on high, from the Most High, your Father. He was also the father of this one. This one would be the only begotten, but he's still your Father. And so it is. But let's pick up one more witness in conclusion. And that would be an old man that was standing by. You will find him in verse 25. Skip to verse 25 in conclusion. Verse 25 reads, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, which is to say a hearing, okay? And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit was upon him. That's the Spirit of the Most High. In other words, what comes from him comes from that Spirit. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit, the Most High, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, that he would see the Lord's Savior, the Anointed One. And the one was coming to be anointed at this time. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, 28, then took he him up, this would be Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Let your slave go. For mine eyes have seen this thy salvation. And that's what he was, beloved, the greatest gift that we have ever received. Salvation, forgiveness of our sins, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And so it is that that light came. We reflect that light, and when God gives you light, share it. But the main light comes from him. 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this is prophecy, listen carefully. This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. It'll be debated and debated and debated. They'll even try to remove his name. 35 to complete this lecture. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed. In other words, it was Mary that would be on the hill away and see her son crucified. But he was doing that whereby we have salvation today, paying for that price from the Most High. Emmanuel, God with us. In other words, the Most High did for you what we probably couldn't do for ourselves, because he was perfect and we're not. And in that perfection, he brings forth that forgiveness on repentance and issues to you the power from on high, the Most High, that is to say, the living God. The greatest gift God ever gave to man was salvation, and he paid for it himself. What a wonderful Father we have, and what a season to be remembering that, the time of the conception. When Mary rushed to see Elizabeth on the day that she conceived, as she approached Elizabeth, who John was 6 months in the womb, John leapt because he felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, the nearness that was dwelling with Mary. How precious it is that God gives us such wonderful gifts. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being allowed to serve you, Father. Thank you for your written word. Thank you for being that Most High that gives us the prerogative to move forward, Father, and to conquer a world with your help, Father, that certainly needs correction. And we know that you are going to do it. We thank you again in Yeshua's precious name. Amen, amen.
The mark of the beast on